preacher. I appreciate having this opportunity. I just want to say, this is a pro flyer.
Yes.
Who did that? Sonia, did you do that?
Sonia.
That's pro, lady.
I
spent several years in advertising, and that's what it takes.
That's a home run.
Yes, it is. Very good, very good. 2 Corinthians.
I'm not fancy, but I like everything done right.
Amen, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Corinthians chapter 11. Whoa. I'm not going to tell you anything you haven't already heard today, but it's something that I think oftentimes we need to be reminded of some things. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Now that's Paul's old-fashioned way of saying, I'm going to talk kind of goofy to you for a minute, but you just listen to what I'm saying and you'll get the point. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now look here. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Now look at this next verse. This is what I want to talk to you about this morning. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now let's pray. Lord, we love you today, and I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to teach and to preach your holy word behind this sacred desk. Father, thank you for Bethel Baptist Church, and thank you for Pastor Skyver, Lord, and all he gives and all he's done, Lord, for you. And God, continue this great work for many, many years to come. Holy Spirit of God, touch my lips now. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about another Jesus. What Paul is saying here to us, and specifically to the Corinthian church was, in his estimation, through his own comments throughout 1 and 2 Corinthians, the church at Corinth was a very carnal church.
Right.
So let's back up for a second and say this. When you want to pattern your church or your life after a church, don't go to Corinthians to do it.
You don't want that one.
Because they were bummers, okay? They blew it in a lot of ways. Now, I'm not saying this isn't scripture. I'm saying that the actual church at Corinth, he had to keep reminding them and exhorting them and rebuking them about worldly things and fleshly things and carnal things. And that should not have been the case, but it was. And what Paul is telling the church at Corinth here is, you know, I've worked for you and prayed for you and tried to teach you God's word, and yet I think there's some of you in this church that if some flim-flam guy came along, tried to give you another Jesus, that you would listen to him. That you would listen to him. Years ago, Curtis Hudson preached a message that was called, Things That Are Different Are Not the Same.
Right.
And that's kind of the same thrust as what I want to show you this morning. Another Jesus? Can there be another Jesus? No.
No.
There can't. But what Paul is saying to us here is there are men and groups out there that would take the name of Jesus, the thought of Jesus, the image of Jesus, and twist it and pervert it into something that is not lining up with this book. There's all kinds of groups out there that use the name Jesus that they don't even know Jesus Christ. They don't know him from a hill of beans.
Right.
I've never seen a hill of beans, but I'm sure there's beans out there in a hill somewhere.
Amen.
But they're out there preaching another Jesus. And I'm going to take just a minute and you listen. Who is Jesus? I'm going to tell you who Jesus is. I'll try to tell you just as quickly as I can. He's the last Adam. He's the advocate. He's the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the angel of his presence, the anointed, the apostle, the arm of the Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and end of the creation of God. He's the beloved, the blessed and only potentate, the branch, the bread of life, the bridegroom, the bright morning star, the brightness of the Father's glory. He's the captain of the Lord's host. He's the captain of our salvation, the carpenter's son, the chief shepherd, the chief cornerstone. He's the chiefest among 10,000. He's the child, the chosen of God, the Christ, Christ the King, Christ Jesus our Lord, Christ of God, Christ the chosen of God, Christ the Lord, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God, Christ the Son of God, Christ Son of the Blessed, Commander, Consolation of Israel, the Cornerstone, the Counselor, the Covenant of the People. He's David, he's the Daysman, he's the Dayspring, the Daystar, the Deliverer, he's the Desire of all nations, he's the Door, he's the Elect, the Emmanuel, the Ensign, the Eternal Life, the Everlasting Father, the Faithful and True, he's the Faithful Witness, he's the Faithful and True Witness, he's the Finisher of our faith. He's the first and last, the first begotten of the dead. He's the firstborn. He's the foundation, the fountain, the forerunner, the friend of sinners. He's the gift of God, the glory of Israel. He's the God Almighty. He's God blessed forever. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's the God of Israel, the Savior. He's the God of the whole earth. He's God our Savior. He's God's dear Son. He's God with us. He's the good master, the governor, the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the head of the body, the heir of all things, the high priest, the head of every man, the head of the corner, the holy child Jesus. He's the Holy One of God. He's the Holy One of Israel, the Holy Thing. He's our hope. He's the horn of salvation. He's the I Am, the image of God, the Israel. He's Jehovah. He's Jehovah's fellow. He's Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ our Lord. He's Jesus Christ our Savior. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He's Jesus the Son of God. Jesus the Son of Joseph. He's our Judge. He's the just man, just person, just one. He's the King. He's the King of Israel. He's King of the Jews, King of the Saints, King of Kings, King of Glory, and King of Zion.
Yep.
He's King over all the earth. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God, the Lawgiver, the Leader, the Life, the Light, the Everlasting Light, the Light of the World, the Light to the Gentiles, the True Light, the Living Bread, the Living Stone, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of Lords, the Lord of all, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord from heaven, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Christ. He's the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Lord of glory, the Lord of hosts, the Lord mighty in battle, the Lord of the dead and the living, the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord over all. He's the Lord's Christ. He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's the Lord your Holy One. He's the Lord your Redeemer. He's the man Christ Jesus. He's the man of sorrows, the Master, the Mediator. He's the Messenger of the Covenant, the Messiah the Prince, the Mighty God, Mighty One of Israel, Mighty One of Jacob, Mighty to Save, Minister of the Sanctuary, the Morning Star, the Most Holy, the Most Mighty, the Nazarene, the Offspring of David, the Only Begotten One. He is the only wise God, our Savior. He's the Overseer, the Passover, the Potentate, the Power of God, the Physician, Precious Cornerstone, the Priest, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Kings of the Earth. He's the Prophet. He's the Propitiation of our sins. He's Rabbi. He's Ransom. He's our Redeemer, the Resurrection and the Life, the Redemption, the Righteous Branch, the Righteous Judge, the Righteous Servant, the Righteousness. He is the rock of offense, the root of David, the root of Jesse, the rose of Sharon.
Yeah.
He is the ruler in Israel, the salvation, our sanctification, our sanctuary, and our Savior Jesus Christ, the Savior of the body, the Savior of the world, and the scepter. He's the second man, the seed of David, the seed of the woman, the servant. He's the servant of rulers. He's the shepherd and overseer of our souls. He's the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the shepherd of Israel, and Shiloh. He's the Son of the Father, the Son of God. He is Jesus, the Son of God. He's the Son of Man, Son of the Highest One, Son of David. He's the Star, the Son of Righteousness. He's our surety, our stone of stumbling, our sure foundation, our teacher, the true God, the true vine, the truth, the unspeakable gift, the very Christ, the vine, the way, the which is, the which was, and which is to come. He is the eternal one, the I am that I am. He is the wisdom of God, the witness, the wonderful, the word of God, and the word of life.
Yeah.
That's who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Not this baloney that you see on all these billboards and stuff. I was working by a job here a couple weeks ago, and I forget what kind of a church it was, but they had like a children's group meeting every week. And on this sign, it has Jesus here. He looked like some drugged out hippie dude with all these little kids around him. You know, had hair down to here, and this was just some artist's rendering. We just, hey man. You know what? Jesus Christ is not some cool and groovy dude, okay? He's God Almighty, came down in the flesh to give his life a ransom for many. That's who Jesus Christ is. Now I'm going to tell you who Jesus is not. The Mormons teach, Mormonism teaches that, that Jesus Christ is the brother of Lucifer. They teach that Jesus, Adam, and Michael, the archangel, are the same person. That's not true. So don't give me this garbage about, well, we're all Christians, we're all going to the same place. Now, folks, hear me now. That Jesus, that's another Jesus. That's another Jesus. That's not my Jesus that they're talking about. That's some idea of Jesus that they've dreamed up from somewhere. Okay, that's a blasphemy Jesus. That's not the Jesus Christ of this Bible here. Get that down in your hearts, okay? Mormons are not Christians. They can call themselves Christians. They believe that the way that Mary came to be with child was that God the Father became a man momentarily, walked into her hut and had sex with her. That's Mormonism for you. They believe that God the Father lives on the planet Kolob and gives birth to spirit children. And that's where all the babies in the world come from. So, that's not Jesus in this Bible. That's some other Jesus that some guy dreamed up. And what you need to get down in your heart is if something does not line up with that book right there, it's wrong.
Amen.
It's wrong.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
It's a cult. Okay? So, now, I see this happening more and more. 25 years ago, when people would talk about Mormonism, they'd say, even lost people would say, well, yeah, but it's a cult, you know. Today they call them Christians. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm a Mormon. I've heard that. That's not being a follower of Jesus Christ. That's being a follower of Joseph Smith, who was a swindler and a cheat and other things. Sorry to if that offends you, but go do your history homework and you'll find that to be true. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that he's a good man. He was a prophet. But definitely not God. The Jehovah's Witnesses do not teach that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Phil, could you turn to 1 Timothy 3:16 and give us that verse, please? 1 Timothy 3:16. And while he's looking at that, I'd like somebody to look up Job 31:33. 31:33. Hang on just a second. We're going to get to Job first. Who's got Job? Go ahead. Sure.
Job 31:33 says, if I covered my transgressions, is that
okay? Yes, say that phrase again, nice and loud.
If I covered my transgressions, is that
okay? Okay, so that means Adam had transgressions. Adam was a sinner. Thank you. That's all we needed. Adam was a sinner. Jesus Christ was not a sinner.
Amen.
So don't tell me that Adam and Jesus Christ are the same person.
Right.
Jesus Christ was without sin.
Amen.
Okay, Brother Phil, now on that second point, please.
1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God will manifest in the flesh.
Stop. Say that whole thing over again and stop right there.
And without controversy. Really read that right, son.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh.
Stop right there. Without controversy means there's no argument.
Right.
You can't debate it. You can't dispute it. There's no arguing. God was manifest in the flesh. How was God manifest in the flesh? In Jesus Christ.
Right.
Manifest means plainly seen, openly seen, obvious. He was manifest in Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Let's keep reading that verse.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
It's great. It's a tremendous.
Yes.
Then I'll blow the Jehovah's Witness right out the door.
Yep.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the word, received up in the glory.
Yeah,
amen.
Went back up.
Yep, that's it. That's the Jesus Christ we serve. Okay, the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witness crowd, that's another Jesus.
Amen.
I'm sorry if this offends you, but that's reality. This is truth.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to enlighten you and educate you a little bit. The Jehovah's Witnesses are worshiping another Jesus.
Yes.
It's not the Jesus Christ of this book.
Right.
And here's one way you know. Whenever I see a Jehovah's Witness, I always say the same thing to them. Why'd you have to change Bibles?
Right.
What? I said, that New World Translation you're carrying there, you didn't always carry that. Your daddy didn't carry that Bible. Your daddy carried a King James Bible.
Yeah, that's the right one.
But he just didn't know what to do with it because it was all twisted and perverted in his mind. So you had to come up with a new book that matched up with your beliefs instead of changing your beliefs to match up with the book. Catholicism. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just trying to educate you a little bit. Catholicism teaches that Jesus Christ is virtually powerless, unforgiving, and indifferent to the plight of man if it were not for the pleadings of his mother urging him to listen to the prayers of the people. Catholicism teaches that Mary is the intercessor, that Mary is the mediator, that you pray to Mary and Mary will plead to Jesus to forgive the sins of the people. I'm just telling you, that's reality. Okay, and people, I've talked to many, many Catholics and they always say the same thing. We don't worship Mary, we just highly revere Mary. Then why'd you name all your churches after her? How many times have you ever seen Jesus Christ the Savior, Catholic Church? It's always Blessed Virgin, Immaculate Heart. And, I'm not trying to put them down. I'm saying that they've taken a version of Jesus and twisted it and perverted it. That's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, folks. That's not Jesus Christ of the Bible. Jesus Christ is not that little baby in the manger anymore. He's not that broken, slain body on the crucifix anymore either. He's risen again. He's reigning at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven, and he's your judge one day. And you don't have to worry about a little baby judging you. You don't have to worry about a dead man judging you. But boy, you better watch out for a risen, reigning, returning Savior judging you. And that's what people try to avoid. That's another Jesus. The charismatics teach that Jesus Christ takes a back seat in importance to the job of the Holy Spirit. Wrong! Somebody read John 15:26, and then somebody read John 6:14, please. And I want to point this out. In using the term charismatic, I'm referring to any denomination that would twist or pervert the office of the Holy Spirit, especially those who teach in speaking of tongues, being slain in the Spirit, open Holy Ghost healing services, that type of a thing. Who's got John 15? Bob?
John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come,
who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me.
He shall do what?
Testify of me.
He shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit's job was to glorify Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's job was to glorify the Father. The Father's job was to glorify himself. Who's got John 6? 6:14. He testified. The Holy Spirit testifies not of himself. The Holy Spirit does not promote himself. He promotes Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. John 6:14. Please stand, nice and loud.
Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of the truth, that prophet that should come into the world."
Okay, I blew that one. Yeah, I must have. Might be. No, not 14:6. That's my next point. But anyway, the point is that the charismatic groups will teach you that it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all that Christianity is all focused on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a real entity. It's a real person of the Godhead. But the most important person in this situation is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that saved you from your sins. Jesus Christ is the one that rose from the dead, not the Holy Spirit. Okay, and don't get me wrong, I'm not demeaning the office of the Father, the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that. Somebody read me John 14:6, or a preacher can quote it probably from memory.
John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father."
No man cometh unto the Father but by me, but by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. It's not the Jesus of Mormonism. It's not the Jesus of the Jehovah Witnesses. It's Jesus Christ, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh in this King James 1611 book right here. I have in my hands. Billy Graham. Uh-oh, now I said the wrong word. Woo! Let me tell you something about your friend Billy Graham. I know Billy Graham has had zillions of revival campaigns, preached to millions of people, all the rest of it. I've listened to many of his sermons. I understand your plight. But the truth of the matter is this. In print, in Time magazine, in 1998, Billy Graham was quoted as saying, "There are at least 6 ways to heaven." So, I'm sorry if that bugs you. I'm sorry if that offends you. But that's from Billy Graham's own lips. Time magazine, 1998, I read it. Okay? So, I'm sorry. But Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Yeah. There is no other Jesus. Another Jesus that Paul is talking about, he's being facetious. That's why he said, "Bear with me in my folly." He's trying to say in a roundabout way, of course there's no other Jesus, there's only one. But these men try to twist things around and turn them around. I'm never going to get to all my other 2 points. But they try to twist things around and pervert them. You know why? Because here's what happens. A lost man, picks up a saved man's Bible and cannot understand it. That's what it's all about. Now, if I stand here and I'm lost, I do not have the power of the Holy Spirit in me, right? Okay. What's the Bible say? For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. In other words, a lost person cannot understand this saved person's Bible without the help of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how do they get saved? Because the Holy Spirit gives them enough faith and enough illumination at that moment to choose Christ. And that's the only reason they can get saved. Otherwise, they're blind. They're blinded. I talked to a woman, this has been several years back. She had a big cantaloupe or a big muskmelon thing out in Indiana. And I don't know if any of you here ever eat an Indianalope, what they call an Indianalope. It's a cantaloupe on steroids, man. Them things are that big. They're the size of three cantaloupes from Ohio. And I don't know where they grow them or whatever, but it's out in southern Indiana. They're just monsters. Well, she used to have them there, $2 for $4. And that's, you know, that's a great thing. So we were juicing and we were eating cantaloupe day and night, you know, and that brings on other bad side effects. But anyway, we were having a good time, you know, eating that healthy cantaloupe, you know. And so every day I was going there and I was giving her a track every single day for a week. For a week. And at the end of the week, this lady was raised Roman Catholic. You know what she said to me? She said, "I've read all of this stuff 2 and 3 and 4 times. I can't get it. I cannot get a hold of what you're trying to tell me." I said, "Ma'am, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to see heaven." And that's where it stopped. And then she kind of turned it down. But the point was, is she was blinded. Her eyes could not see. Her natural eyes could not see the truth of this word. And that's, every time a new religion springs up in this world, that's what happens, is a lost man picks up a saved man's Bible and say, "Now how could Jesus be God? There's got to be an explanation for that. Or how could he be born of a virgin? That's impossible." Of course it's impossible. He's God. He does impossible things for breakfast. Think about it for a minute. If he didn't do something impossible, he wouldn't be God, now would he? Right. Duh. Right. It's impossible to you and it's impossible to me, but it's not impossible to God. That's chicken feed. God can do, if God can turn back time, if he can create this 24,000-mile in circumference globe that we live on and just hangs out in nothing, you don't think he can't take care of your problems? You don't think he can't have a Jesus that was born of a virgin and died and rose again? Yeah. He can do all that stuff and 10 times more. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received," another spirit, and I hurry. Who the Holy Spirit is? He's our comforter, our teacher, and we're not going to go on down that road again. But he's the one who seals us. He seals us till the day of redemption. Ephesians 1:13. He's the person that convicts you of your sin. John 16:8. When you're saved and you get ready to do something wrong, "I'm going to ride off on this bicycle. That kid don't need this." All of a sudden, I get this shaky, nervous feeling inside of me. And this little voice in my head says, "You better not do that." That's the Holy Spirit telling you that. And that's one way that you can be sure that you're saved. Now let me say this to you. If you can sin and it never bothers you, you better check up on your salvation. If you can just sin and sin and sin your life away and, no big deal. You know, I know I'm saved. I'm going, you know. You better check up on your salvation, pal. If you can sin and sin and sin and sin and it doesn't bother you, you got a problem. You listen to me. I'm going to say it one more time, because I think even in good godly Baptist churches like this, we need to hear this. If you can sin and sin and sin and sin and it does not bother you, you need to check up on your salvation. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, we can suppress the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. But you better be careful. He's the one that reveals God's word to us. How many of you have been reading your Bible and you say, "I never saw that before. I've read this passage 10 zillion times. I never saw that." You can stop right there and pray a simple prayer and say, "Holy Spirit, thank you for showing me that. It wasn't because you read it that one extra time that made the deal." You know, it wasn't that. It was that the Lord said, "Okay, he's ready now. Go ahead and show him now." He wasn't ready last year when he read it, or 10 years ago, but he's ready today. And he needs that today. He needs to get that today. Show him now. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He teaches us. He reveals God's word to us. Who the Holy Spirit is not? Most religions, except for the charismatics, don't really even discuss the office of the Holy Spirit except in passing. Go to a Presbyterian church and see if they talk about the Holy Spirit. Methodism. Snooze fest, man. The charismatics, however, make up in bushels for what these other people lack. Most charismatics would lead a person to believe that the Holy Spirit is the most influential person in the Godhead. But I'll tell you one thing. He didn't found the church. And that's what they'll try to teach you. Charismatics believe that if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit founding the church in Acts chapter 2, we wouldn't have a church. Wrong.
Amen.
Jesus Christ founded the church in Matthew chapter 16.
Yes.
Look it up.
Amen.
Look it up. Jesus Christ did not leave this earth until he finished his earthly ministry. He finished the job. He didn't leave something hanging. Now, and we don't have time for all this, but I do want to take, we'll cut the last point really, really short. Somebody look up 1 Timothy 4:1 and 1 John 4:1 and 1 Kings 22:22. 1 Timothy 4:1, 1 John 4:1, 1 Kings 22:22, and one other one, Romans 8:16. Who's got 1 Timothy?
1 Timothy 4:1.
Oh, go ahead, preacher.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
There are such a thing, folks, as seducing spirits. Well, you say, what does that mean? That means there are evil spirits out there that would lead a person away from the truth of God's word and seduce them into believing something false. You need to be in that book. Forget about the Hagees of life and all the rest of the guys that are out there on TV. Now, I'm not saying they're all 100% wrong. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is usually most of them have one, at least one major point that they're very, very wrong on. And they can lead you away from the truth of the gospel. If you want to learn something in God's word, you know, here's what I hear all the time. Oh, this guy, he's amazing when it comes to prophecy. Does he have his prophecy right? That's what I want to know. A lot of these clowns, what they do is they get all this stuff built up real big and gigantic so it sounds amazing.
Right.
Wow, he got all that out of two verses. No, he got all that out of that sub sandwich he had last night.
Wow.
That's what I say, wow. Don't believe all this hocus pocus junk you see on television. Okay, and read in books written by charismatics. You say, but you don't understand. I looked it up. Are you comparing Scripture with Scripture? Are you comparing God's Word with God's Word? Here's how you know something to be a fact. Well, in this verse it says this. In this verse it says this. Now, those sound like they're the same thing. But wait a minute. This verse over here says something that sounds different than those two verses. So I need to keep looking. I need to keep looking. But if I say, this is exactly what this says, and this is exactly what this says, therefore I can add one and one and one and get three. That is God's word, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Compare Scripture with Scripture. That's what God's word tells us to do. Not because some guy got on TV and sold 3 billion CDs about this prophecy junk. That's where the Herald Campings are now. They're sitting out in left field because they followed this joker and they sold all their houses and sold their cars and quit their job to be ready for Jesus on May the 21st.
Yeah.
Hello, you messed up. And where you messed up was you followed a man instead of following God's word. You followed another Jesus and another spirit. That was a seducing spirit that guy led people astray because of he was led astray by seducing spirits. Who's got 1 John? Go ahead, Carl.
John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Now listen, thank you. Try the spirits. What John is telling us there, or the Lord is telling us through John, is this. Don't believe every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes down the pike.
I could
show you right now, and there are some of you in here that I could convince you, dead dog sure, that you have to be baptized to go to heaven. I could show you and get you all twisted and turned around. If I wanted to play devil's advocate, I could do it. Because I know the verses. I could show you that the universal church is real. And unless you know that book, you're not going to show me any different. I'm not saying those things are true. I'm saying they're false. But you got to try the spirits. I read a book by a man one time that he had a charismatic friend of his. And the charismatic friend says, well, you don't understand. Boy, when I'm speaking in tongues, it's just me and the Lord. We're so close and so tight, and it's just a sweet fellowship time and this and this and that. And he said, well, Bill, look here. The Bible says that we're supposed to try the spirits. Now, will you try the spirits with me? He said, sure. He said, okay, we'll wait here until you get in the spirit and you start speaking in tongues, and then you let me pray. He said, okay. So he started jibber-jabbering whatever he was doing. Okay, should have bought a Honda. You know, he started his Holy Ghost talk, okay? And then that man knelt down and he said, are you from Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God? And suddenly that man's speech began to go, blah, 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 not of God, not of God, not of God, not of God. Does that sound like that's of God to you? That's a man that tried the spirits according to the scriptures. So there's seducing spirits. We're to try the spirits. Who's got 1 Kings? We'll be out of here in just a minute. 1 Kings 22:22.
We're still in the New Testament.
1 Kings 22:22.
Yes.
And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.
Okay, we'll just leave it right there just for time's sake. It's a whole big long story, but the point is Ahab was to be killed. He was to be murdered. It was appointed by God because of all of his wickedness. And God has evil spirits at his command. God commands everything, right? Well, he has evil spirits at his command, just like angels. And so he had an evil spirit go to Ahab and convince him through these false prophets that he was going to win the battle against Syria. Okay, and so the evil spirit said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Don't believe all that stuff you hear on television. Compare it, scripture with scripture, in God's word. And here again, we don't have time to look at another gospel. But we saw another spirit, another Jesus, and there's another gospel out there to go along with the other Jesus and the other spirit. Try all this stuff, folks. Don't just believe it because some guy is dressed in a $900 suit. And don't believe it because he's got 30 books written. That doesn't mean that he knows God's word. That means that he's loaded. Do you get that? You know, and you can stand here and say, well, that Joyce Meyer, she just really speaks to me. Joyce Meyer made $23 million last year. What do you think she's doing for a living? Do you think she gave 22.97 to missions? I doubt it. Sorry, I'm not here to make you upset. I'm here to tell you this. This is where you're going to find the Jesus Christ that saves your soul. This is where you're going to find the gospel that will redeem you from hell. This is where you're going to find the Holy Spirit that will educate you and teach you and convict you of sin. Not on TV, not on the radio, not in the books. Put all that baloney down and get back into God's word. This is where you'll find reality in this King James 16:11 word of God. Let's pray. Preacher.
discern what's right and what's wrong. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And Father, help us to study that we would understand what's right and what's wrong. We thank you for this great class that Brother Mark did today. Help us to apply to our lives now. In Christ's name, amen.